Several weeks ago, I shared a story about letter writing. Today, I return to that letter with an entirely different intent. Today's message, Rising from Denial, shows us that it is love and the forgiveness of God that enables us to rise above our mistakes and become more faithful disciples. Before unpacking the scripture from John, I'd like to share a personal example. The letter that I refer to is the one that I wrote to Cheryl asking for a second chance. Now, the reason that I sought a second chance was that I had broken off our relationship. I had ended the relationship for no good reason. When I wrote her, months afterward, she had every reason to refuse to see me again. She could have denied my request, but she did not. Instead, she agreed to see me. I was raised from my own denial by her response. Love and forgiveness do lift us above our mistakes. I guess you'll have to ask her whether I have been more faithful, but I have certainly tried to be devoted to her. And while asking for forgiveness was certainly hard, I think that granting it was even harder. Can you think of a time when you were given a second chance? Maybe it was because you had spoken out in anger or hurt. You know, sometimes being angry just seems like the right thing to do. Maybe someone had hurt you with unwisely chosen words, and the pain seemed to overwhelm you. Maybe someone was critical of your work or behavior without understanding the circumstances behind your actions. Oftentimes, the world and the culture at large does not encourage us to be very generous with our second chances. Just go to social media or the news media for examples. Groups pile on, and the hurtful anger seems to deny any possibility of love and forgiveness. And so we close off opportunities for healed relationships and hold grudges. Why is that? Is it because of the anger or the hurt or the fear? I think that the anger and or hurt can blind us so that we don't see the image of God in that other person. We deny them personhood. Or maybe we're fearful of what might happen next. What will happen if we expose ourselves by opening ourselves up, becoming vulnerable to someone else? In a larger context, has there been a time when the church has denied God in our poor treatment of another, or on our unwillingness to give others a second chance? I can think of examples of racial discrimination in the 60s. There's a deep scar in my memory watching marchers being blasted with fire hoses. Fire hoses held by God-fearing Christians. More recently, the hateful rhetoric around the disaffiliation in the greater United Methodist Church. It seems that we're sometimes not faithful disciples of the God that loves us unconditionally. So let's look and see what Jesus teaches us about forgiveness and love. Peter had made a big mistake and denied that he even knew Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. In John 18, we're told about the arrest of Jesus in the garden. He's taken to the high priest for questioning. And Peter follows along, and it is in the courtyard where his denials take place. And then the rooster crows. What does Jesus do? Does he condemn Peter to hell for all eternity? Is Peter struck by a bolt of lightning, or does he suffer physical pain caused by Jesus? No. Jesus goes to the cross and dies for his followers, for Peter. And yes, for us. Despite Peter's lack of faithfulness and friendship, Jesus still invites Peter into discipleship. And in fact, the risen Christ meets him and the other disciples with a gesture of companionship and abundance. Just prior to our scripture from this morning, in John 21, the first 14 verses, we're told about Jesus on the lakeshore, hence the lakeshore song, preparing fish and bread for breakfast. Peter's imperfect love for Jesus doesn't seem to change Jesus' unchanging love for Peter, or God's love for an imperfect humanity. You see, it's forgiveness that allows us to journey from the moments where we deny Jesus, or whether we make other big relationship-harming mistakes. We're led from there to reconciliation with God, and to renewed faithfulness. In John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus says that if you forgive someone else's sin, they are forgiven through the Holy Spirit. Our forgiveness allows the power of God to move, to change, and to reconcile. Now, the power of Jesus' forgiveness is evident in his willingness to feed Peter physically and to address him as a friend, even after Peter's denial. Yet our scripture reading from this morning shows that on the other side of that forgiveness, Jesus calls and empowers Peter to be a changed and renewed life of servant leadership, feeding and tending Jesus' own sheep as a shepherd to a flock. Often we think that forgiveness is the solution to a problem, but this passage shows how forgiveness is a first step, a foundation that frees Peter for a life of faith and a leadership role in the early church. In response to these three professions of love and faith, played off against the three denials, Jesus neither congratulates him nor offers forgiveness. Rather, he gives him good work to do. The work of being a leader, of looking out for the followers of Jesus. In short, Jesus restores Peter to the discipleship community and calls him to a life of purposeful service, to be a witness, and eventually, as the closing verse signifies, to sacrifice his own life. See, God not only promises us reconciliation and justification, a healed relationship through forgiveness, but also redemption and sanctification, a changed life through the Holy Spirit, in which we actively participate. Peter's denial of Jesus does not define him. It never did. Way before Jesus' death and resurrection, he had called Peter the rock upon which he would build his church. We read it in Matthew 16, verse 18. And in our passage from this morning, we see Jesus commissioning Peter to do this work, to be this rock. And if we look ahead, for example, into Acts chapter 15, we see Peter living in his strength as this rock of the church. Let me ask you, how often do we let our own mistakes define us or derail us from living the lives we were made for? How many of you know families separated for years in silence because one will not forgive another? How might the example of Peter, who accepted fully the power of Jesus' forgiveness to move forward, inspire us? Yesterday, I read a review of a book by Mark Hammer, not a household name, because he's a retired English gardener. The review was interesting enough for me to consider obtaining the book. In it, he said that the garden is a good place to worship. As a gardener, he told me, "You are very much aware that your existence is for a very short period of time, and that you are just like the plants are, rising and blooming and then fading." That said to me that life is too short and therefore too important to be spent wrapped up in a ball of unforgiving anger, hurt, and fear. How would you begin to forgive someone today? Not once, not twice, not three times. In Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said that we are to forgive 77 times. What would be your first step in moving toward that? What does it look like to love the way that Jesus wants us to love both others and ourselves. For I believe that the goal of Christian living is to become more like Jesus in love and in worship of God. So why is forgiveness so hard? And why doesn't it always happen right away? Well, I think most often it's a process. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Let's be really clear about that. What freedom might be found for us or in others in the act of forgiveness? And how might we accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers us for the mistakes that are holding us back? Now, this process, it often starts with awareness of the mistake and bringing it to God in confession. Maybe sometimes it's sharing with a trusted friend of faith who will remind you that you are forgiven. We can rise from our own denial. In order to receive forgiveness of our sins, we need to forgive others. And forgiving others allows us to overcome those feelings of anger and bitterness or revenge. Forgiveness can heal spiritual wounds and bring the peace and love that only God can give. Like Jesus called Peter to feed and tend his sheep, if he truly loved him, what action might Jesus be calling you to take in order to fully embrace and live into your forgiveness? Where in our world or communities today do we need to see forgiveness or second chances? There are relationships almost everywhere that can be rejuvenated, healed, and strengthened by a dose of forgiveness. You know, I thought if we only look to the left at an intersection, we won't see the truck that hits us from the right. And looking only to the right, we'll have exactly the same result. So what is required to get there? Jesus said that all the law was summarized in loving God completely and loving neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. If we offered it, what would that grace enable us to become? I think it would be one huge step in the journey of growing to be more like Jesus. And how might our story of forgiveness inspire others to move forward from their mistakes into lives that serve Jesus? You'll be more at peace. Your family will be more loving and less anxious. Our church will be known as a place of hope and love for one another. Our community will be more attentive and caring of and for one another, rather than being isolated and mistrusting. The love and forgiveness of God is what enables us to rise above our mistakes and become more faithful disciples. Jesus forgave and loved Peter despite his denials. He loves forgives and calls us to serve him too. Would you pray with me? Dear God, as you received Peter's gifts and put them to holy use, so also receive what we have and are, and put them into service for the people and the world that you love so much. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And God's people said, Amen.